quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draws nigh. So heal us of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy we're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily don't trust. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While He warn off the danger that lie in their path, but they heed not His mercy and they kindle His wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care, but where you have pleasure, their hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievement, the mercies of Jesus they daily don't trust. God in His heaven must look down in pity with those who so careless forgotten their God.
He said that His kingdom was not of this world.
So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements, the mercies of Jesus they daily don't trust. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and greedy will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements, the mercies of Jesus they daily don't trust. God in His heaven, He must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Men are so busy with worldly achievements, the mercies of Jesus they daily don't trust. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God.
Are you building a
home in heaven to live in when this life is o'er? Will you move to that beautiful city and live with Christ evermore? Around me many are building homes of beauty and wealth, but what of a home in heaven? Where will you live after death? Are you building a home in heaven to live in when this life is o'er? Will you move to that beautiful city and live with Christ evermore? Long is the road that leads you to the beautiful home up there. Is the work on your home completed that may be lingering near?
I am building
a home in heaven to live in when this life is o'er. Will you move to that beautiful city
and live with Christ evermore.
Are you ready for His coming? Have you been true all along?
Have you finished
your building in glory? Will you move to that heavenly
home?
Are you building a home in heaven to live in when His life is over? Will you move to that beautiful city and live with Christ evermore?
Where would I be without Jesus?
Where would I spend eternity? Lost in a world full of sorrow. Without Jesus, where would I be? Where would I be without Jesus? Where would I spend eternity? Lost in a world full of sorrow. Without Jesus, where would I be? Where would I be without Jesus?
Where would I spend eternity?
Lost in a world full of sorrow. Without Jesus, where would I be? Where would I be without Jesus? Where would I spend eternity? Lost in a world full of sorrow. Without Jesus, where would I be? Lord, I want to do what You want me to do. Lord, I want to do the things You want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of Thy will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. Lord, I want to be what You want me to be. Lord, I want to do the things You want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of Your will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. Lord, I want to be what You want me to be. Lord, I want to do the things You want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of Thy will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. Lord, I want to be what You want me to be. Lord, I want to do the things You want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of Thy will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. I say yes, Lord, yes. To Your will and to Your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust You and obey. When Your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. To Your will and to Your way. I say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust You and obey. when your spirit speaks to me. With my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes,
to your will and to your way.
I say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. It takes a lifetime to be able to say that, sing that song. Mm-hmm. That spirit and truth
kind of flush out all the rebellion, you know, that we come into this world with, all these hang-ups. And finally, hopefully someday you can really sing that song. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. But it takes a lifetime, you know. It's the natural man wants to do it his way. So that's our struggle. Everybody has a fight. The natural man is the problem. It's a piece of carcass that we have to live in. Crucify the flesh, mortify it. Like I say, it takes pretty much a lifetime to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Come to that place where you can finally see, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for this another day of life. Lord, we just pray for grace to look into your word and to see what you would have for us today, Lord. We just pray you'll give us the right words to say, the things you put on our heart, Lord. Give us the right attitude. Give us the use our lips and our vocal cords to say the things the way you want it said, Lord, that we'll be salty and that we will be uncompromising. But there are some things that have to be said, Lord, and in the hour of time we're now living, and if we don't see them, they're not going to be said, because you've given us the understanding of your scripture. You've allowed us to see from eternity to eternity, and we can explain everything that's written in the pages of this book, Lord. We just pray for grace to be able to express ourselves. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, at the end of the day, that if anybody is anything, you care about the salvation of your children, and there's nothing that anybody can do for the salvation of their children, like you can't give salvation to your children.
And you can't pass it down from one generation to none. It's not inherited.
Yeah, that's what we're here in this world for. Like you were saying, every generation has a responsibility. And if it was about giving them money, you know, I would work 24 hours a day so I could have something to give them, and so I had money to give them. But that's not where it's at. That's the last place where it's at. But you got to somehow live a life that the Lord will be able to give them salvation. Because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters, that they will have when they breathe their last and when they take it from this world, that they will have a kingdom that they can go to, that they don't have to go to hell. And that's what we're all about. That's why we're on this journey. And like you were saying, that's what every generation should be concerned about, is the salvation of their children, so they can hand it on to their children, and then they can hand it on to their children, and then all of a sudden you got a heavenly utopia, you know, here on earth. But, you know, like I say, if it was about giving them money, then I would work 24/7 hours a day just so I'd have money to give them, so they don't have to work. I was thinking about this guy down in, he works for Caterpillar Company. He's got two daughters. Then he gets a good paycheck. They get good money working for Caterpillar. And he already should be retired long ago. But he wants to work, so he gives money to his two daughters so they don't have to work. And they haven't worked the end of their life, because his whole paycheck goes up, his whole paycheck goes into paying their houses and their rent and whatever you have. And here he is wasting away working for Caterpillar when he should be retired a long time ago. And see what he does, he spoils his kid. That's what happens when you just give your children money. And you can read it. I read a lot of instances where people are very rich and they don't give their children any money. Right. They see, go out and work for yourself.
See, they'll never be able to find out who they are, what God created them to be. When parents do that, they're actually, that's not a real love for your children. A real love for your children is wanting them to flourish and to find their place in life.
Amen.
And especially their place in Christ, what they can bring to the creation of God, what God created every individual for. If parents do that, spoil their children and hand them hand-me-downs all the time, they will never be able to cultivate that.
You never find out who they really are.
That's right. And you know, everybody has something to bring because God made a beautiful creation. He gave each one of us an individual character. That's who the soul is.
Mm-hmm.
Every one that God made, a human family, he gave a soul and a spirit. The spirit gives life, and the soul is your characteristics that God made especially for you.
I remember back in the day, my son, he was with me, and I was getting up in age, and time to buy him a driver's license, and we got him a driver's license, and I was going to give him a half-ton truck, and here's your truck. And the Lord came to me at night, "Don't you give that boy that truck. If you will give that boy that truck, he'll hate you for the rest of your life. Because he'll never be able to accomplish, if you keep giving and giving and giving, then they will never be able to use their own ability, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing worse than, you got a kid, you got a son, you got children, and they're never able to use their God-given ability because you keep giving them and giving them and giving them. I tell you, I found it here. I just want to read you something here, I don't know. Or it says something about thy children that must make them princes in all the world. See, I'll read it in Psalm 45. I came across it one day, actually. The Lord woke me up in the middle of the night, and I kept hearing Psalm 45. So I went to look at it, and you can read the whole thing. It talks about the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is wrought in gold. Talking about the spiritual well-being, the king's daughter, you know. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. And this is the scripture. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. See, we're not talking about this world here. This world here is just to test us to what we're going to do in that millennial reign. And see, if you do the right thing with your children, it says exactly here what it says, instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. And it's talking about if you do your part and your children, they will have a lot. They will have they will be a prince in the millennial reign. It's all about the hereafter. It's all about this kingdom that's about to be exploded. We're about to bump right into it. Instead of thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the world, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee,
forever and ever. That's why you and I, we're doing what we're doing here, because there's something within us. We see something in the scripture that we do have to do our part for the generation that we're living in, because we're responsible for the next generation. Mm-hmm. And the next generation, they're responsible for their generation. That's just the way, it's kind of like a chain reaction. But people don't do their part. They just mm-hmm. sit down and they spoil their kids and they give them all kinds of money. And while they do it, raise a bunch of retards, a bunch of no goods, you know what I'm saying? And the easiest thing for me, if that would be the way to go, if that would be the thing to do, the easiest thing for me to do, just give them money, give them money, give them money. That's what I would be doing. But when you look into this page of the scripture, that's the worst thing you can do for them. I could tell a lot of stories how the Lord had to yank me back into reality, and instead of giving them money, just make sure that they will be able to exercise their own God-given ability so they can do whatever, you know. There's a lot of things that they do that I don't approve of. But, you know, you got to let people make their own decision, make their own choice.
That's really when you look at God as our Heavenly Father and how He goes about our lives. He doesn't just let us have an easy life and that we go through life without any trials and tribulations, because it's those trials and tribulation that work character in our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's the character that I believe that is going to shine in heaven.
Yeah, you know, that's what it's about.
That's what you're all building towards. That are you building a home in heaven? And those trials and those tribulations, those build that character. And you look at it in a sense of an earthly father. That's what an earthly father would do, is challenge his children in order to bring out the very best of them. And that's how God molds us and shapes us in a way that at the end it's going to be a vessel that's going to be beautiful before Him. But it's all a working process. It doesn't come overnight. It's like when you make a pottery. You go into the potter's house and he makes a vessel of clay. And first it's just a lump. It's just a lump of clay. There's nothing there. But as God starts to shape our life and mold our lives, and in it comes pressure, tribulations and trials and all these things, they build character and the characteristics that we need, that God put in us, in the like that lump of clay, everything is right there. Mm-hmm. But shaping it into a beautiful creation takes time. And then you have to go through the furnace of fire, and you don't know how long you're going to be in there. But that's the same way an earthly father wants one that really loves his children.
We care about mm-hmm. eternity, their eternal destiny.
That's right.
I remember this story about this this lady, the brother, she came to Brother Branham, and Brother Branham saw her, and he said, you know, you ask anything from the Lord, and He'll give it to you. It was mm-hmm. just a moment, the right time, and that mattered. The Lord asked her. The Brother Branham told her, the Lord is challenging you. Ask anything for your children, and the Lord will grant it to you. You can ask for money, and they'll be rich for the rest of their life. Whatever you ask right now for your children, and the Lord will grant it to you. And she said, all I care about is the salvation of my children. And I was up in Vancouver when her last daughter was baptized in Jesus' name, right? The mom wasn't alive anymore, but when she had asked for the salvation of her children, the Lord granted her that each one of her children would be saved, would have that eternal reward when they die, and that's what she asked for, and the Lord, rich in mercy, would grant it to her there. And see, like, it's all about the millennium. It's all about the kingdom. See, Jesus said, my kingdoms are not of this world. His kingdom is over there in the millennium reign, when we come down here and we're living here for 1,000 years, and bring this planet back to where it used to be. And that's what our hope is. That's what our ambition should be in life. That the things of this world, they have no meaning. All we're here for is to prepare ourselves a place in that other kingdom. That's why we're doing what we're doing here every day. That's why we get up at 5 o'clock every morning and keep our spiritual sanity, keep our spiritual thing alive, so that we'll have something to show up for when we get over the other end, on the other side. That's all that keeps us motivated. Mm-hmm. Like I say, every parent and everybody has a responsibility to do their part while they are here on earth. I don't know. I think my parents did the best they knew how under the circumstances. I can't fault them for that. But for you and I, for me, it's required a lot more than God required of my parents. Mm-hmm. For my parents, it's okay to live in that compound, but for me, I couldn't live in there. The Lord got me out of there, and then He put me on this journey to keep a handle on this truth. That's what He created me for, way back before the foundation of the world. That's why we can say, to do your will and to do your way, you know, that that's the only direction that we have. If we can allow the Lord to do, to bring us to a place that He created us for way back before the foundation of the world. He had a place for everything, and we've been saying it over and over again on this website here that we lost our way. We're born in sin. We're shaped in iniquity. We didn't have no compass. We didn't have no state. We had nothing. But as time went on, we grew up and we came to the age of accountability, and then the Lord saved us, and then He give us His word, and He brought us to the ministry of Brother Branham, and He opened up His word to us, and we could finally see little glimpses of where God is taking us to. And finally, the day came when He gave us this commission here.
I remember
it was yesterday. He said, Sam, it's time now to start up a website. I just read about Brother Jackson there, or you read it. We said there was a time when the Lord told Brother Jackson, now is the time to start up a church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was back in his hour then. And he started up a church, and for the longest time, he just had maybe 5 or 6 people coming to church. And for the longest time, and then finally, eventually, it began to blossom, and then he started up that Faith Assembly Church, and it went worldwide. He put out the contender. He did what God ordained him to do in the hour that he was living in. Well, with me, it's different. With me, back in 2010 or 2012, he said, Sam, now it's the time to start up a website. Well, I keep saying over and over again, I didn't know nothing about the website. And then there came a day when the Lord told me to pick you up, because without you, there is no program. And that's the next cog in the wheel that the Lord used to bring us to where we are today, because He told, let me know, without you, there's no program. He had already worked on you to bring you to that place of maturity. Then now, the two of us, we can do exactly what we're doing here. That's what God created us for way back before the foundation of the world. That's what we finally found our place in Christ. That's all for some reason or another. When the Lord saved me, that's what I began to pray for. I don't know why. It's just something deep in my soul. Lord, help me find my place in Christ. I already knew that we lost our way, that we come into this world shaped in iniquity. We come into this world, we have nothing spiritual about us. But through God's grace, He let us find out our place in Christ, and then started His website, and now we're doing whatever this thing here. And that's what we were created to do, to keep a line on the truth that has been established since before the foundation of the ministry of William Branham, which he started back in the 1930s, and now all we're doing, we're holding on to the truth that has been brought to the church age of Laodicea. Mm-hmm. And you and I have been given that commission to keep a handle and a hold and make sure it doesn't get perverted. To just keep a handle on the things that we have been taught, that has been brought to us. And we're doing the best we know how.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the direction the Lord has led our lives. Like, I can't go build a car like Elon Musk, an electric car. because okay. that's not in my makeup. That's not what the direction that the Lord has led me and has created me for. Like these, like when I was 21, the Lord came by my way and He saved me. And that was all working towards what we're doing today. And then He allowed me to see the scripture in Malachi that God will send the spirit of Elijah before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these were stepping stones. And then He brought me to the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson. See, those are the things that the Lord has allowed me to see and witness mm-hmm. firsthand. The things of God, and as you mature, you're able to express them better and be able to understand what your calling is in life. Mm-hmm. So when you walk through it, it's sometimes a little bit difficult mm-hmm. To know to find that place. But as you mature and God opens up your understanding what He's created you to be, and that's exactly where God has led our journey, and basically is to keep, like He spoke to me one day, to preserve this truth. Mm-hmm. And that is the very essence of life of Laodicea, is the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson. Mm-hmm. And it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. You never take away from the Lord Jesus Christ, but it was through those men's ministry that's what was being revealed, is Jesus Christ, because everything was taken away from humanity when the church went into the Dark Ages. Catholicism took everything away from the very essence of Christianity. Mm-hmm. Everything was hidden in her system of religion. Now, people did not know. The Word of God was taken from people. The people couldn't even read the Bible. They had them so brainwashed that only the priests can read it. But then God started restoring it. He was reforming that church and then restoring everything back to the faith of the early church. And that's what He did. And that's why we can speak on those things, because God has restored all the truths. And there are so many things that people don't know because they sit in systems of religion. Mm-hmm. But God walk us through all that so that we can teach people and to open up their understanding of what God has been doing and who God is. People don't really know who God is. And they blame everything on God. But if you have the whole picture, the whole, like Paul said, I have not shunned you to teach you, to tell you the whole counsel of God. Mm-hmm. If you know the whole program of God, when He created, when He made that blueprint, like you always say in Ephesians, when you know that, that God has a plan, it's not just a day-to-day thing that one day is just going to collapse like the globalists want to tell mm-hmm. you, that this planet is going to be destroyed. That is the devil trying to convince people of that. But God has a program, and it's like you said, we're walking through into that millennium period, and that 6,000 years is concluding. Mm-hmm. That's why we're entering into that seventh day of rest that God had back when He created the heavens and the earth. And then he brought it back into alignment, everything, when He put man here. It took 6,000 years of Him to do that. Sure, in the Bible it says 6 days. But really, the process took 6,000 years.
Well, one day with the Lord
is 1,000
years.
So that's why the millennium period is a 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's that day of rest. That's that third day that Hosea talks about. And everything, God has a plan. That's why when you can bring it all together, it's a beautiful picture. And God has something for each and every one to play a part in if they're found faithful. As this testing here is underway.
Mm-hmm. I remember prior to 2005, I didn't even know that you existed. Mm-hmm. And then you had a job in Brandon, and then we, you know, you came to church here. And like I say, I didn't know you, but I saw that inside of you, you had a desire and a longing to know about this here truth, and about Brother Jackson, about Brother Branham, about the Church of Laodicea, and about the messengers. And I began to see, and I couldn't wait. When I got off truck, and I'd go to Brandon, and we'd go out for dinner and spend time sitting and visiting, and there was the joy in my life to get together with somebody, talk about spiritual things. Mm-hmm. And I'd go, like I say, I'd go to Brandon whenever I come home, whenever I was off work, and you were off work, we could sit and visit. And like I say, I didn't even know you existed. And then I took a look, and I, and here you are, off the colony, and I, what I wanted to do was take you from point A to point Z, like just kind of snapping the finger, because I didn't want you to have to go through to get to know all the ins and outs of life, you know, because you have to go through a lot of things to mature, you know. There's a lot of traps out there, and I, mm-hmm. It just kind of thought about it one day, man, if I could take you from point A to point Z, I would. But I couldn't. You had to walk this walk through yourself, or the devil would throw all these guys at you because you had made a decision. You want to walk with the Lord. You don't want to go down that marriage path. And the devil heard it, and what he does, he throws all these guys at you, and you got to make a decision. You don't want to go down that path. And see, I didn't know whether you're going to make it when the devil throws all these guys at you. I didn't know whether you're going to come through there without getting yourself all messed up and everything. But somehow one day the Lord just let me know you. He finally made it true. And I think I came here and talked to you that morning, because I didn't know whether you're going to make it. But somehow you made it through that turbulent water, and here you are. And then the Lord told me to pick you up and go trucking, and here we are doing the very thing that the Lord had prepared for us before the foundation of the world. There is nobody on planet Earth that could do the job that you're doing, that because you've been honed out for it. You're the only one that can do it, that can. And like I say, the Lord began to deal with me when I was 21 years old, when he saved me, to put me on this journey. But it takes you a lifetime to get to that place in Christ where you can truly finally say, Lord, do with me as you see fit. Use us for your honor and for your glory, and help us to be faithful and true what you've called us to be. That's what he's called us to be at the end of the day. The only commission that you and I have, to keep a line and a hold on this word that's been given to the church here to lead us here, the ministry of Brother Branham and the ministry of Brother Jackson. And we bumped into a lot of stuff as soon as God takes Brother Jackson off to say, here out comes the guy we're looking up to, James Allen. Oh, we're in the third day. Well, you and I have been given the responsibility. If somebody comes down and tells you we're the third day, contrary to the things that we have been taught, just kind of just separate yourself of that thing. Mm-hmm. And we just separate ourselves, and along comes the other crew. We're after 2 days. I remember it was yesterday. You called me up one day. I was up tying down my load, and you called me up to hear what David said. He says we're after 2 days. And we had a little conversation. I says, I'll call you back once I get out on the road. And then we had a conversation. He said, we're after 2 days. And we decided we're not going to follow that after 2 day thing. And then we had to keep a line on that word. And I found out exactly where it comes from. It comes from Hefner, from that Highsmith's wife. And if you know Highsmith, he came up here one day and he had a whole lunchbox full of pills, you know. He's a druggie, you know, and that's what he lives off, drug. And his wife, he told him about that after 2 day thing. It's all had shot. Satan used his wife to feed the church, and then he told Hefner, and then all of a sudden Hefner, he comes out with his new revelation after 2 days, and he feeds Davis, and then Davis feeds Bobby Stewart, and before you know it, the whole campus polluted. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about that today. And then here comes Benjamin Boyd. He lost his son because at that very day when they buried his son, Benjamin Boyd's son, Hefner had a powwow up at up at his place to introduce all the preachers and invited all these preachers to come in. And what he was doing, he was trying to seduce them into believing that 2D garbage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking about that today. And here, Benjamin, God had honed out Benjamin boy to hold on to the truths that we've been given. And we have not been given the truths that after 2 days, that were after 2 days. He knew very well because it cost him his son so that he wouldn't go up to that powwow. Mm-hmm. Because like I say, the day they had their powwow up at Hephzibah's place, that's the day he buried his son. If it wasn't for that, his son being killed, he would have been up at that power. But the Lord had a work for him to do. And what does he do? He has to take away his son. So that very day, so he doesn't walk into that trap that Hephzibah had set for the preachers. Mm-hmm. And some of them went up there, and some of them went down to the funeral. But see, when all the work that the Lord put in that Benjamin boy character, and then once that funeral was over, the Lord had a work for Benjamin boy to do. Just don't fellowship with these people that go up there and fellowship with the 2 day crowd. After 2 day crowd, and guess what he does? Eventually he goes down and he fellowships with the 2 day crowd that try to tell you we're after 2 days. Because God had honed him out to do the very thing, to take a stain on the things that we've been taught. But see what happened? Eventually caves.
Mm-hmm.
And then the job remained with you and I. We cannot go along with these people that fellowship with people that believe after 2 days. And I kept telling myself, I'm not going to fellowship with these people that do that. Neither will I fellowship with these people that do fellowship with them. It's a chain reaction. And if you tie yourself to that kind of a false teaching, eventually you'll just be taken down to hell and death, the same path. And one day we looked here and lo and behold, he died. He got some kind of a brain disease. A week later, he was dead.
I guess he got some kind of a bacteria or something in the brain barrier. And that, I guess people don't last very long with that. And that's how serious it is when you people don't realize that, God gives people a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And don't think that God did not work in him in order for him to be able to make the right choice. But, people decide to compromise.
Yeah.
And that's why...
The easy way.
Take the easy way instead of taking a stand and be ostracized and ridiculed, and they are afraid to take that stand and walk alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what point is there? What is further job is there if they don't walk that direction that God wanted him to walk? And he passed away not very long after that.
I saw that whole program. I saw exactly why his son died, and I told him that, and I watched and I observed. I stayed in the background, and I could see. And then his next son, his other son, had fell off a 10-story thing and broke his legs and just about got killed. And see, the Lord was warning him, Benjamin boy, don't go near those people that teach that we're after 2 days. Take a stand. And what does he do? He goes and fellowships with them.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, that's when he got that brain disease. And you and I, we were watching this whole process because it was their job to do it. And eventually when they weren't faithful to what God had called them to be, eventually we had to step up to the plate, and then we separated ourselves from those people that teach that 2 day garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Just to keep a line on this truth. But they could have done it. They should have done it. Why didn't they do it? I guess, I don't know. But God gave them every chance to do it, and he gave them every warning. Don't go near that false doctrine. But see, then it was handed down to us, and we're the best of our ability, we're hanging on.
Mm-hmm.
We're hanging on to the thing that we have been taught. We didn't get taught that we're in the third day. Mm-hmm. Neither did we get taught that we're after 2 days. We know exactly what after 2 days is. But after 2 days It's the week start. The week hadn't started yet back then. It's gone on now, and we're holding on to the truth, the things that we have been taught, and we're putting everything out there, our whole life, that we could on the line. Finally, we can say, Lord, use us for your honor, for your glory. Do with us as you see fit. And all that God has called us out to do is to hold the line on the truth, on these tremendous truths that have been given to us by through the ministry of Brother Brennan and Brother Jacks. It's out there. It's available. All you got to do is punch in Brother Brennan. And all his preaching, all his 40 years of preaching comes up on the website, on Faith Assembly. On the Voice of God recording. Mm-hmm. In fact, I got it on my phone here. It's called, I think it's called The Table. Mm-hmm. And all his services are on there. And then you can get Brother Jackson's service on Faith Assembly Church. And it's all out there for the taking. And we're just holding on to the thing we have been taught. That's our job. And that's the only job description you and I have. And if the Lord wants to add some more to it, fine and dandy. And see, the devil, he does not want you and me to be connected. He's worked overtime ever since we got together to try to divide us. Mm-hmm. So he uses your family, uses this guy, uses that guy to try to divide us. And then they lie up stuff about us, you know, like it's a mm-hmm. Shekinah program. Everything 24/7, the Satan is on our case to make us look bad, to make it completely sound something that it's not, that's not true, you know. Mm-hmm. The lie up thinks about it, and the devil uses them, and we roll through with it because we see it happening. We know why it's happening, because the devil can't stop us, but he sure can make it appear like we're these kind of people that they lie about us, mm-hmm. you know. Make us look like we're not what we are, but see, at the end of the day, God's going to have its way anyway.
That's right.
They can fly and do whatever they want to, but it's at the end of the day that counts. Mm-hmm. We're just going through our trials and tribulations to see if we're going to stand firm and steadfast. What these people lie about, it really doesn't matter, you know. It's up to us to stay steadfast and firm and know that our calling is to hold the line on this truth. It doesn't matter how many people try to stop us. They're jealous about us and all that stuff. But we just keep holding on because there's nothing else to hold on to. That's if right. We slip, then that whole end time picture, that whole ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jack is just going to go down the tube, and it will be ineffective. And Laodicea is just going to lock. But we're going to hold on to this truth because we're the only ones that know all about that truth. The Branhamite, they don't know nothing about Brother Jack. They'd be kept in the dark through their any business mm-hmm. of this world. They make sure they don't find out the ministry of Brother Branham or the ministry of Brother Jackson, and they've been given orders. Don't go near that thing. They mm-hmm. they dare not even listen to it. I remember growing up to Lens Lerone, and I had some tapes there, and I wanted to give the tapes about the ministry of Brother Jackson, and he just saw Raven Jackson on there. He told me right flat out, I'm not going to even take that tape. I'm not going to listen to it. Well, for his downfall now today, he's back out in the street mm-hmm. where he come out of, you know. Well, if you don't move ahead, you're going to move backwards. And that's why you and I, we're putting in all our effort and to just to keep a line and hold that on this truth and to keep our spiritual sanity. Mm-hmm. That's why we get up in the morning, because if we don't stay alert and keep your lips all trimmed and burning, believe you me, we'll be taken down the road to hell and death. But we put in an effort. We do whatever we can to keep our spiritual life going. And the Lord told me to get up in the morning and sing some song. And he told me to get up a little earlier and pray in the day. And that's what we're doing. We're being directed by the Lord. The Holy Spirit leads and guides us so that we can one day find a place and that 1,000 year reign of Christ, and that we can do something for our children. Our children can be in that millennial reign too. That's why we're doing everything we can, just so they will have an expected end. And hopefully they'll do something on their children that they will have an expected end. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Lord put us down here. That's why we're doing what we're doing. We're not just some fly-by-night having out here having fun in the sun. Mm-hmm. That's the last thing we want. And the Lord pays us good. We're doing it for free, everything. It doesn't cost nobody nothing. pray.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, give you thanks for everything you've allowed us to see from where you brought us from, Lord, and open up our understanding and open up your word to us and the church age that we're living in and what you've been doing. We just want to be found true and faithful, Lord, to the things you've called us to do, to continue having these conversations, Lord, and no matter what, we know the darkness is always pressing in, Lord. But we want to keep it alive, Lord, and real in the hearts of people. What you've done in this generation is a beautiful picture, Lord, what you've done. And it's everything fits so perfectly together, Lord, line upon line and precept upon precept. You're a beautiful creator, Lord, and we love you, Lord, and we praise you. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.